Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
I am so excited. I'm always excited. I'm excited because you guys are here. You know what I'm going to say next, right? You are the best podcast audience and you have been rocking it. You've been sending the shows, you've been sending comments. And yes, Susan, keep doing your yoga to our episodes. I think, look at you guys, Susan's rocking it with Mission Accepted Podcast. She's learning all sorts of things and she's getting in her exercise at the same time. So you guys can send in your ideas as well. I'm not only just excited, but today you have a special treat. You know, we do these amazing trilogy episodes where we bring in experts, someone who is completely unique, that is rocking it in their field, right? You don't get the title expert by just kind of doing a little stuff. This woman embodies what she does, and she shares that full on, full game. I'm very excited. You know what are the benefit of being like a host? When you bring on people like Nada, is you're like, this is like a class for me as well. So look at you guys, you're the best podcast that I could ever, you know, best podcast listeners. You're kind of like royalty. And Nada's going to make everyone royalty today. So who is this woman that I'm talking about? She is an expert coach in divine union. Doesn't that sound like amazing? Specializes in relationship polarity. And today she is going to do a trilogy. You are going to get three-part series today, and it's all going to be about untaught rules to create relationship royalty. So there it is. Mic drop. Nada, welcome to Mission Accepted today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we're super excited. I'm excited because you know what, you guys, you're going to stay on. You got to stay on and listen to this three-part series because she is going to take us just, I know it. We're going to go deeper and deeper today. We're going to meet ourselves and we're going to have a great time doing it. So tell us a little bit about how this came about for you. I mean, our whole show is about Mission Accepted, right? And people taking the mission, staying the mission. And so I'd love to hear a little bit about your story, about what made you decide to do what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a journey. You know, I remember this day very clearly. It was my son's 6th birthday and it was like a pool, like beach theme, right? And all the kids were dressed up in like sharks and mermaids, and it was a really beautiful sunny day. And there was like this guy making like shapes out of balloons, giving them to the kids. And there was like a face painting section and everyone was like on a high, everyone was so happy. And I was there, you know, taking photos with everybody, and to the world, I looked very happy celebrating my son's 6th birthday. But on the inside, I was like kind of miserable. I was not in a good place. And I couldn't understand like what was going wrong with me that I never really was able to be in a happy relationship. Like there was always something missing. And I had to suck it up because it was the birthday party, right? So I had to like pretend like most women do when they're in unhappy relationships. They just put on this face where everything's fine. And I had to be that person during the party. And then when I went home, I was like devastated. And I took a couple of weeks off life and I was like, I can't live this way. And it was either like I was gonna really figure out how to be in a happy relationship, or I never wanted to be in a relationship again. And I know that sounds really dramatic, but that's the state that I was in back then. And mind you, this is like 12 years ago. Yeah. So I took some time to really reflect on myself. And what I noticed after studying so many different things, like I became a certified hypnotherapist and a theta healer and a Reiki healer and a pranic healer and a yoga teacher and a breathwork practitioner. I have like 75 certificates, okay? And a relationship coach and a feminine coach and did a lot of plant medicine. And what I discovered is that nobody really teaches us how to be in a relationship, and we're all just winging it. We're all just trying to figure it out. And, we all want love. I really wanted love. I want, like, everyone deserves to be in this amazing relationship that, we see on TV, like the fairy tale love. But whatever I did, I could not have it. And I was giving my all in every relationship. That left me devastated, one after the other. So after going on this journey and making that decision that, you know what, I'm gonna figure this out once and for all, I realized something very important. And it is that relationship polarity is the real effective way to get people into a harmonized union. And that's the path that I took, and that's the path that I made my life. And today I've helped thousands of women and men master the relationships through that process that I've put for myself. And obviously, today I'm in a very happy relationship, been married for 5 years. So that's really my story and how I got to where I am today.
I appreciate your transparency because I think it takes a lot. I've said that really, I think a lot of healing comes through transparency and other people being transparent because I think it's difficult to go, hey, it was my kid's sixth birthday party and I was, I had that beautiful plastic smile on my face. And I think I really appreciate that. I also appreciate when you say it might sound dramatic, but I was like, either, I'm done with relationships or I gotta figure this out or I'm done forever. I think that everyone at some point has probably said, you know what? I'm throwing my hands up, like white flag on, on the match, right? Like I surrender. I don't know what else I can do. I'm doing, like you said, you're doing everything that you can. And I think it's interesting about relationship polarity. I have not heard anyone talk about that. I'm very excited to hear you share what you're going to share with us today because I've not heard that as a solution. And I'm like, well, I think there's a lot of people that have been like, I've had enough. I don't know what else to do. And the 75 certificates, like the self-healing and the healing books and the this and the that. So please, let's just dive right into it and talk about what it is that you got to share with us today. Let's kind of do our episode one. Let's find out what it is that you do. And I am excited to hear.
Absolutely. Like what I discovered, like the hundreds of people that, I've worked with. I was very similar to them. And it's not like I got this happy relationship because I'm some special person. It's like I kind of put the pieces together. And when I help people with relationships, the relationships start to grow because the pieces come back in the right order. Like when we are growing up, how do we learn about relationships? We see our parents, we see our grandparents, we see, movies and if we're going to be honest with ourselves, they're also just trying to figure it out. Like they don't have this perfect picture. And we've all witnessed, our parents and our grandparents like have all these extreme dysfunctional fights behind closed doors. And so we don't really know how to be in a relationship. And it was very easy for me to blame my partner. Like he's this and he's that, and he doesn't appreciate me. But I took a moment and I was like, okay, what am I doing? Like, let's come back to reality because at the end of the day, the way we show up in the world is the way the world shows up for us. So I'm like, what am I doing that I'm not seeing that was creating all this dysfunctionality? Even though I was doing everything with good intent, I realized that I was doing three things that were creating complete distortion in my relationship. And the first one is I was mothering my partner. So I would take on the over-nurturing role where I would be that good woman that did the right thing all the time, like most women are taught. But what I didn't realize is that that actually demasculinated the man, right? It kind of started, and most women that I work with share the same story. Like I feel like I'm with a man and I feel like I'm with a boy in a man's body. And the men that I work with, so like the couple, they say, oh, I'm always controlled, right? I'm always controlled by my woman. But it goes back to that mothering role. So when a woman takes that mothering role, what starts to happen is she drops it. Magnetism. She's no longer this interesting, mysterious woman that she was in the beginning because she put on that mothering hat. So what happens, because everything at the end of the day is energy, and the way I treat you is like sometimes you meet people, you feel really good. Sometimes you meet people, you feel crap. It's because energy matters. So if a woman shows up in her mothering role, with time, the man is going to drop into a little boy role, and then he's not going to feel masculine. So he's going to feel controlled and he's going to rebel. So what happens in that relationship? The polarity goes off track. And then eventually they move on from that honeymoon phase into this constant bickering and arguing, always trying to make it work, always trying to figure it out. And then it never really works out. Their sex life goes down the hill. You know, their communication goes really bad. The intimacy is not there and they're unhappy. They're unfulfilled. So that's the first thing, like the mothering role. The second thing is that in a relationship, like we are always growing. Like we are always growing as people. We're always evolving. We're always healing something and we're always learning something new. And a lot of couples, and that was me, right? Long time ago. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking from like the people I work with, like a lot of couples, mm-hmm. like what's missing is that partnership, that friendship that's built on like trust and respect and loyalty. And most important, like conscious conversations, like being able to be authentically yourself, no matter what is going on, knowing that you're going to be held, you're going to be supported, and you're going to have a friend to walk you through what's going through. And when what I used to do is I would blame, I would fight, I would argue, I would like do anything but have a healthy conversation, right? Because the part of me that didn't feel confident would come up when, you know, I needed that support. So what happens in that space is that that's not going to create anything healthy when two people just start arguing over everything. So what I realized is when I started embodying that part of me that can be like really clear with what I say, feeling confident and safe, what started to happen is communication started to become like a bridge from my heart to his heart, instead of like this catastrophic bomb that would take place whenever, you know, stuff didn't go well. But the thing is, for women and for men, what I realized is like our communication is like, you know, if you have a brick wall, right? Mm-hmm. The beginning of the wall, it looks really good. But then if you look at all the bricks, there are these bottom fundamental bricks that hold the whole wall together, right? So communication is like the top part. So when I dug in within myself to see why is it that I reacted? Why is it that I was short-tempered? Like thousands of women, right? What I realized is that I was so disconnected from my womb. I was so disconnected from that safety within my own body, that pleasure center, that joyful center within myself. So because I was so disconnected from my womb, I was more in a masculine role. So the way I approached conversations was very masculine. So what would happen then, you know, the man would go into a feminine role. So bringing that into balance creates that relationship polarity, right? And then the third thing, it's really, really like taking a relationship as a third project on its own. Like a lot of people go into relationships thinking like, okay, we're in a relationship, but it's like me in my own energy and you in your own energy, creating a whole third energy. So we're not leaking into each other, being codependent and dysfunctional. We're actually creating something together. Like this energy of a relationship can be raising a dog, can be having a child. Like how do you treat that third energy? So when, you know, I started to be like, all right, I want to be a queen in my life and I want my man to be a king. I want to create a kingdom together, right? So mm-hmm. I needed to show up as a queen. And in order to do that, I needed to like really invest in the relationship of the energy of the energy of the relationship, not from a place of like neediness or clinginess or even avoidance sometimes, but from a place of really being very interdependent, like really focusing on becoming the world-class version of myself. And when I started becoming the world-class version of myself, the type of men I started to meet were very different. And the man that I'm with today is like the king of my kingdom, right? And this is really what helps so many couples transform their relationships. We had a couple that was actually separated. They have two beautiful kids. They're separated and their life is like going down the hill. And they called us up for some help. And we took them through this exact process. And actually, I think it was August this year, they renewed their vows. They invited us to their new wedding. It was really beautiful because we were part of the ceremony. And, you know, they just started a whole new page with a completely different harmonious flow because they got that relationship polarity in place.
Wow. Let's take a digestion. Let's let that digest. I imagine, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, what you describe is very blissful, but I'm sure there's a process to it. And I can hear it, like, you know, and I'm sure you get this. So when I'm doing a show, it's like you can hear questions from the audience, even though they're not exactly listening right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you've heard this. So if there's a couple and they've got stuff going on, or it's not at its optimum, maybe it's just okay. Like there's not anything wrong, but there's not anything fantastic either. Or they're like, ooh, I recognize some of the stuff that she just said. It's like, ooh, I can react. Or what do you say to that person that's like, I'd love to be able to, you know, have a conscious conversation with my partner, but they're not into that even vocabulary or that terminology. Like, what if one person's wanting something different and the other person's not really? Like, do you get that question? Do you come up against that?
Yeah, that's actually a very good question. Now, I'll tell you something. It takes two people to tango, right? It takes two hands. Like in my culture, you say it takes two hands to clap, right? Nice. And this doesn't just go in relationships. This goes in any venture, like business relationship or like parent and child or like you and your scuba diving instructor, right? Like you got to be on the same page. So when couples are not on the same page, we start from 101. We start from like the first page of the Boho book, which is let's talk about our level of commitment, right? Because when people are committed to create the same vision, then they become on the same page. And what happens is everyone's way and how they flow is very different. And they don't need to be the same because we are all different. And the whole point is becoming the most world-class authentic version of yourself, right? But if both people are committed to the same vision, then they're going to walk on the same path.
Okay. I mean, I think that, thank you so much, because I'm sure that must be something that comes up, because, you know, you've sat in circle with sisters and they're like, oh yeah, like I'm going to say that to him and he's going to be like, sure, let's go get conscious. Or she, you know, I'm sure when he's sitting with his man and it's like, there's just so much, you know, it's just too far apart, or I don't really know how to do this, or she's not on the same page as me, or we don't have the same things in common, or something fell away, or, you know, you hear that a lot. So I love that.
You know, the thing is, everybody wants love. Like yeah. Everybody wants true love, and everybody deserves to have a beautiful love story. Like at the end of the day, this is probably one of the most important parts of our life, in my opinion, because it's connected to our heart. Like when you're in love and your heart is so full, you know, you show up differently at work, you show up differently with your friends, you show up differently in every part of your life. And when you're having problems with your love life, a lot of people start to get used to that flow. Like, yeah, we don't listen to each other. Yeah, we fight. Yeah, you know, and then they move on to their life and they start to struggle and they don't realize that it's actually because their heart's not feeling well, right? And the thing is, men and women speak completely different languages. And men and women are waiting for the other person to change. Like the man's probably thinking, oh, only if she stops controlling me, or only if she stops whatever she does. And the woman's always thinking, only if he shows up differently and, you know, he's more emotional towards me, then it would work. And that's where I used to be. And that's when I said, you know, I used to blame, like I'm waiting for somebody else to do something for me to have a great love life. But mm-hmm. when the couple starts looking inwards, right? Like, for example, like, any like what I've discovered, okay, to make a long story short, what I've discovered
no, that's okay. It's great.
It's like a woman's love life is a mirror, like a literal mirror of her relationship with her womb. And a man's love life is a mirror of his relationship with his heart. And when I had that aha moment, I'm like, oh my God, you know, like I am so disconnected from my womb. I need to come back to myself. I never need to tell a man how to treat me anymore. Like what happens with women when they start to center themselves in their womb, you know, when women sit together and they're like, oh, but he doesn't listen or all that, like that will go away. Because when a woman is in her, in a different, like magnificent queen energy, what happens is she never needs to tell him how to treat her because her magnetism is so different that he will naturally be drawn to protect her and provide for her and to want to hold her and be more emotionally present. And when a man is centered in his heart, he never needs to tell a woman, stop telling me what to do or stop whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Because she's going to naturally start to trust his leadership. She's going to naturally flow into his masculinity. So she's going to drop into her femininity and feel so good about herself because that's her natural element. Right. If you put a fish in like a cage, a bird cage, it's not going to feel good. But put a fish in water, she's going to flow. And that's what happens with the woman. And then what happens with the man is he's going to feel very good about himself because he's going to feel very masculine. And then together they create their kingdom because they've organized that polarity.
Thank you for that. And let's talk a little bit. And I don't know, we're probably rolling into all of the, you know, our segments are going to go all together, you guys. So you're going to go on this journey of conversation with us. And I love it. So let's talk about this womb. Mm-hmm. Because I could imagine that there's a few people out there going, I have no idea what she's talking about. And I'm going to come off this podcast and go, I'm going to drop into what? Like, how do I do that? I think people can hear the benefit. I think it's easy to hear when you speak and you're so elegant when you speak, Nada. It's like, I can visually just see this whole thing coming into play like a puzzle. But I can hear people like, well, how and what? I mean, yeah, we can hang out with you and you can probably walk us through it. But when someone, what would that look like? You know, what
does
that mean for a woman?
Like, I'm really glad you brought that up because you're right. Like, a lot of women cannot even associate what the two have to do with one another. Like, yeah. How is my relationship connected to my womb?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And a lot of women, actually, that I first start working with, they have no idea that their womb is more than, other than having a baby and getting a period. Like, they don't know that their womb is actually much more than that, right? Yeah. So this is a very good point. And we can talk about the men and their hearts at one point too.
Absolutely.
Now the thing is, like, our wombs are very sacred. And if somebody told me 15 years ago, Nada, one day you're going to be talking about the womb, I would have been like, what? Because I used to be a tomboy. I used to be so disconnected from my womb that if you told me womb, for me, it was intercourse, period, babies. That's it.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know I had fallopian tubes. I didn't even know the biology of my womb. I was right. Such a tomboy. But, oh my God, thank God I went on this journey because my whole life changed. And what I discovered is, like, our wombs are so sacred. Like, when I was sitting trying to understand my femininity and how my feminine energy works and how it works in relationships, it clicked. Like, it's so simple, but, you know, sometimes things are so simple that we overlook them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, let's go back to the prime creator, okay? God, the universe, whatever anyone believes in. Like, humanity was created at one point. We don't know who, how, why it was created, but, you know, we exist as a species. And our species, you know, whoever created humanity decided, okay, so for this species to continue, they need a place so I can send spirits to become babies. And that place, that portal, is the womb. So the womb is actually a very sacred space that keeps our species alive. It's a very, 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 like, incredible organ that we have. Now, if you go back in societies, like before all world wars and all of that, women were actually treated like priestesses. Women were considered very royal, and women, when they were on their menstruation, were actually treated even more royal. And I was looking at that. I was like, why is that, when I was taught the opposite? Like, I should hide myself and be ashamed of myself and not speak about these things out loud, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like taboo and stuff. So what I started to understand is actually there's a lot of energy in the womb. And for me, the energy world fascinates me because it's the energy world that makes the physical world move. And what I realized is we carry something called magnetism in our womb, okay? Now, women that are disconnected from their womb, they're very masculine. Not because they're masculine, it's because they're very electric. I'm talking science here. Like, we are electromagnetic beings. So they become very electric. And when women are electric, they can't be magnetic, right? So if a woman is electric, she's never going to meet an electric man. So she can't really be with a masculine man. And if she's electric, she's going to attract a magnetic man, which is a man that is leaning more towards the feminine side. And then she's going to complain because she wants somebody more masculine than her. But in order for her to meet that masculine or even transform the energy in her existing relationship, she has to drop into her magnetism. So it's like energy attracts, right? So if you have magnetism, you're going to get electricity. If you have electricity, you're going to get magnetism. So, and that magnetism is inside the womb. It's inside the ovaries. It's inside the womb. Kind of like the energy of love and forgiveness is in our heart, right? Kind of like the energy of logic is in our brain. So that magnetism is in our womb. So you have the whole answer to that, right? And when a woman drops into her magnetism, her man becomes very electric. So he becomes even more masculine, which is what every woman wants. Every woman desires a man in his leadership, a man that is kind of like the chief of the tribe, the man that knows where he's going, that has a lot of ambition. But if she's in her electricity, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that was quite brilliant. I love it. It's almost like scientifically correct. You know what I mean? The way that you talk about it, I think it's really easy to digest and to go, okay, that's a whole different idea of, you know, how the heck do I get into my womb? And you're right. Culturally, there's so much stuff around that. It makes it very different and very difficult to conceptualize, you know, something that, yes, babies, menstruation, and really, honestly, that's about it, right? That's about it. So men in their heart.
So, you know, a lot of couples that come to us, they come mainly, like, not a lot, but not the majority, but a lot of them do. They come and one big problem that they have in relationships is like the man is always looking at another woman, or the man has, you know, he's always interested in checking out other women. And this creates so much like instability for his partner. And when I look at the science, or when I look at what's actually happening, is like he's actually looking at women. And this is always the case, right? He's looking at women that have more magnetism. So because he's craving that spark that's going to bring him back into his masculinity. Because the partner he's with has a lot of electricity. She's become very masculine. So when we work on her energy and her womb energy and she drops into her femininity, he becomes super loyal. Now, this is not to excuse anybody that's cheating or having an affair. Like, this is not what I'm saying here. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is that it's even to that extent that because men are very primal, like men are, like women are not as primal as men. Men are very primal and they function from like a yang energy, right? Mm-hmm. So they're always looking at survival and they're always looking at, you know, where they can seed. And they need magnetism. It's like they live off of magnetism. And that's why a lot of women like will say something like, I don't know, he cheated on me with like this really ugly woman, because she's looking at her physical looks, but maybe that ugly woman has a lot of magnetism. That's what men need. It's like women crave emotional support from their partners, which they never get. But men crave that magnetic, sensual, soft energy. And a lot of women think that if they were going to be sensual and soft, then they're not strong anymore. and they're not powerful anymore. But what I realized is the softer I got, the stronger I became. The softer I got, the more powerful I became. So it's a really interesting dynamic. And it goes the same way with men and their hearts. Like, women are disconnected from their wombs. Men are disconnected from their hearts because growing up, you know, they're taught you can't feel because then you won't be a man. If you're emotional, or if you cry, or if you have any emotion, then you're not macho enough. So that's like discrediting his honor as a man. So what do? They disconnect from their heart. They want nothing to do their heart because they want to keep their pride, like they're a man, right? But that's not going to work in relationships, because, you know, it's the emotions that build a relationship. It's the emotions that create that deeper intimacy and that sacred connection. And, you know, the same way a woman comes back into her womb, when a man comes back into his heart and he feels that safety to be vulnerable in his emotional expression, and being emotional doesn't make him a wimp, doesn't make him a sissy or whatever society has labeled emotional men, then he will actually rise even more in his strength, because he will have that compass of his heart open. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It's I can definitely see, when we were talking pre-show, on how you described the polarity, right? Because what we think, if you drop into, and you know, I think about all the people I know. I mean, all the people I've known in relationships, some friends that have been married forever. And I remember going to my aunt in my first year of being married. And I don't know about you guys, but the first year of marriage is interesting, right? And people are like, oh, the first year of marriage, you know, it's like, you know, because you're like, oh, it's going to be all bliss. And then I remember, I remember having our first fight when we were married. And I was like, I didn't know what to do. I was like, well, I can't tell him to leave, and I'm not going to leave, because apparently now we're married. And it was so mind interesting, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, what do we do? And I remember going to my aunt, and she had been married like almost 40 years. And I called her up. I'm like, let's go for dinner. She's like, okay. And so I said to her, I said, okay, so you've been married for a really long time. This first year of marriage is interesting. And we've been together already. We lived together. Like, this wasn't like, you know, we lived in separate houses and came together. And she, I said to her, you know, how do you do it? And she kind of looked at me, and I'm like, and I was like, if you could do it all over again, would you get married? She's like, absolutely not. And I was thinking,
oh, wow,
I'm asking the wrong person. But not, you know what I mean? We kind of had a little josh about it. I mean, a whole different generation, right? But the interesting thing is, we all know people that have been happy, not this, not that, all of these different, but you're all these different people, like you're like, they're trying, but everyone's got these different set of rules, right? Like, in this house, it was okay to be emotional for a guy, or this not. And sometimes people have changed, where, you know, I've seen colleagues of mine become single parents of two or three kids, and their femininity goes out with the laundry pile. And all it is just, I'm doing. Like, you see a lot of people taking on roles or holding the world up. And I think that a lot of times they go into survival. And I don't think men are in their heart when they're in survival, the way you're describing it. And I don't think women are in their womb when they're in survival very often, right? So very interesting.
Yeah, and like when people center in their womb and their heart, what happens is not only relationships just get aligned, but, you know, workflow, money, like life in general, because you're in your element, right? You are in your natural element. So everything works differently. You know, those days you wake up feeling great, the whole day is going to go well. You're going to be like, oh, you know, coincidences start to happen. And, you know, people are really nice, and you're like, oh, I'm having a great day. And, you know, those days you wake up grumpy and on the wrong side of bed, you know, you start to realize people aren't so nice, and, you know, you stub your toe in the wall, and everything just goes wrong. Yeah. So when you are in your womb, and when men are in their hearts, you're in your elements. So those good days becomes a life. It doesn't become just good days during a week. It becomes a life. So you have that energetic momentum of, you know, how do you get that energetic momentum to really align yourself to who you were always supposed to be energetically.
So I love our conversation. I'm loving the dialogue. I'm loving the description. I think everyone's kind of doing a little bit of this, right? A little bit of this. What do you say to men and women that are out there where, like yourself? I mean, it sounds like your relationship really changed. You changed with yourself, but there's people that are out of relationships or single, or they're like, done. I'm done. Like when you described that, I was like, I know a lot of people that are like, I'm so done. So people that are not in relationship, how do they utilize the information that you're sharing? Like, do you have people that are single that come to your apps as their first?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Ultimately, the most important relationship we have is the relationship we have with ourself. So even if somebody is single by choice, then them optimizing their own relationship with themselves, them becoming that world-class 2.0 version of themselves, that's probably the grandest gift they can give themselves. And if somebody is single and they're looking to meet somebody and they're just not meeting the right person, like either they're not meeting, somebody that fits their standards or their criteria or what they're actually looking for in life, then, again, it's like a mirror. It's a mirror. Like, what is your relationship? If it's a woman, like, what is your relationship with your womb? Are you disconnected from your womb, so you're meeting disconnected men? Or do you not have a relationship with your womb, so you're not having a relationship outside you? Like, we go deeper into that. But we've worked with so many people that not only do they meet the right person, but they meet their forever person. Like, they start, they get married, they have kids, and because they have that healthy foundation, they don't go into that spiral of having the fights and the problems and all of that. They start to grow. Like, what you were saying is very common. Like, what happened with you when you got married? Like, a relationship has five phases. The first phase is, we're in love. Let's show each other the best parts of ourselves, and let's go through life together. And this happens. The second phase is, okay, I'm getting to know the things I don't like about you. You're getting to know the things you don't like about me. And then the third phase is like they commit to one another, but they don't have that foundation that's solid. So it becomes rocky. And if you want to put it into statistics, like about 87% of all divorces and separation happen at that third phase because they don't know how to move on to phase four. They go back to phase one. So, like phase three, they fight, shit hits the fan. Then they go back showing each other the nice part of themselves. They rediscover a bit more. And then again, they get into these tremendous fights. But when you have that solid foundation, you don't need to go through all of that. You can just move into phase four, which is a divine union. And phase five is that bliss, that euphoria, that like the honeymoon phase shouldn't end. It should be your life with your partner,
So that's really interesting. I mean, I know it, I mean, I'm in alignment with a lot of that you said because I studied, the philosophy of Tantra for a very long time, and I know, but it's very interesting. That was the one workshop my ex-husband was willing to go to. It's like, yeah, I'll go to that one. But I know, right? It's like, didn't have to talk him too hard on that. But I love how you say, and honestly, staying in that conscious conversation. And when you talked about being able to have conscious conversation and then having people feel safe, both the man and the woman in that place. Like if I really let my walls down and I'm really not, like you said, energized in a masculine way, is my partner going to be able, am I, is it going to be safe to be that person with that partner, right?
Yeah, that's very important because what women ultimately desire is a man in his leadership. And what women do on a subconscious level is that they will test their men. So a lot of men don't understand why women snap out of no reason or why they like ask like really like cheeky questions out of nowhere, But what they're doing on a subconscious level is they're testing his leadership. Like, are you going to be solid? Are you going to show up? Are you going to be the chief of the tribe, And if a woman doesn't receive that leadership over and over and over, of course her walls are going to go up. But the thing is, the walls go up not because of the partner. Okay, it goes way back. Like, our first relationship is our relationship with our parents. And almost every woman has a mother wound. And every man has a father wound. And it's a whole world and journey of psychotherapy, right? Mm-hmm. But when a woman does not heal that mother wound, she will always have her walls up because she never felt safe receiving nurture that's unconditional. So whether it's her partner or anybody else, she'll always have her wall up. She'll probably have her wall up thicker with her partner because he has access to her heart, and that's very vulnerable for her. And the same thing for men. Men have a father wound that goes very deep. And, you know, what they do is once they get vulnerable with a woman, they disconnect. And that's why, you know, they'll disappear for 2-3 days, even though they really like the woman or they love her or whatever. And it's because they don't want to, they have their wall, and their wall is avoidance. Like, I'll just disappear so I can calm my heart down. I don't like how vulnerable I feel. And then I'll come back when I feel safe again with my shield. So, you know, the journey really starts with healing that, like healing the mother wound and healing the father wound, that your safety is not dependent on how your partner shows up, that you're safe no matter what's happening around you. And then you can actually enjoy your relationship because you're not waiting or like, you know, being like, in my culture, we say being an owl, like having your eyes open, waiting to see if he's going to do something wrong or if he's going to do something right to keep yourself safe. Because, right, that, you know, that safety got cultivated through your own journey. Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting because I think about, I mean, I have people in my life from all different ages, all different stages, right? You know, I'm somewhere around that midlife, and I see a lot of people probably at the next stage, they're just like, I'm good by myself. I'm happy by myself. And I think that's, it's very, very, very interesting, right? They're like, oh, I've had my kids. I'm this and that. I'm like, do you want to have some love in your life? They're like, I'm good. You know, I'm good. So interesting. I mean, I know, who am I to say that they're not, but okay. We've talked about a lot. That's incredible. So the one thing, I want people to understand, well, first of all, I want you to be able to share with us, you know, accessibility to you, because I'm sure there's people that have more questions and we're going to cover in a 3-part series, which I think we've done really well. But when you say that there is, so how much work does it take, I guess, is the question, because there's getting in touch with yourself, you know, dropping into this womb place, if you've got some stuff you need to heal, like, what is the process? You know, give us kind of a bit of a finale of what that looks like for people. They're like, you know, do I watch videos? Am I at home? Am I flying to where she lives? She's got a beautiful accent. Where is she? Like, tell us how, because, right, that's the piece that people need to know. Is it like, you know,
Yeah.
What is it that you do, and how long, even though this is probably an interesting question with a difficult question for you because everybody's on their own journey, but how long does it take for someone to start to get into this place where they're changing who they're attracting, they're changing how they're feeling, their relationships are showing up differently? What does that look like?
Yeah, like, that's such a beautiful question, because ultimately that's the main question in everyone's mind. Like, how long is this going to take? Because people want their love life sorted like ASAP, right?
Of course.
Now, our hearts, our love life, it's kind of like a flower. You know, when a flower is wilting, and you just put some fresh water, it's going to bloom very quickly. It doesn't take long, but you got to put the right water. If you're going to put like soda or something, it's not going to flourish. So it really depends on the pathway that a person takes. So what started to happen with me is women and men started to come to me. I was already a coach, right? 12 years ago, I have an academy called New Earth Masters that teaches people like how to live in like empowered, confident mastery. And, you know, a lot of my clients start to show up for their relationships. And I was like, hey, how about I take them through the same process I put myself through? And, you know, boom, one after the other, like, not only did the relationship transform, but they it's such a beautiful, fulfilling thing to witness and to be a part of. You know, I'm so honored for people that trust me to take them on this journey. So then I developed the Divine Union Academy, and I created the specific flow that, you know, I've taken all these couples through and got success. So it's broken down into 5 sections, if I was to put it in linear flow.
Yeah.
So the first section is really about healing and feeling very safe with yourself And, you know, understanding the energy of trust, commitment, communication, respect, loyalty. So like the real foundations of a relationship, like if these are solid, whatever, like if you have a building that has such a solid structure, there's no earthquake or tsunami that can demolish it, right? It's going to stay standing, kind of like the pyramids. So that's really the first section. And we do that by healing the mother and the father wound. Women do have a father wound and men do have a mother wound, but it's minute compared to the other parent, right? And then we go into the second phase. The second phase is really about becoming a world-class version of yourself. So women really diving deep into their femininity, their womb, understanding their womb, clearing their womb, very important, from all ex-partners or, you know, anything that they've had happen. Like that alone is going to bring her shine back online, right?
Yeah. I like that, yeah.
And like really learning how to work with the womb, how to work with your magnetism, how to increase your magnetism, how to do feminine practices that keep you like joyful and sensual and soft, yet solid, you know, how to work with your menstruation. So you're, because we're all business women at the end of the day. So how do we put on both hats? How do we, you know, be in our masculine flow with business, but at the same time, stay in our queen energy? So how do we work around our menstruation with our menstruation? So that's really the second for the woman. And the second for men is similar, but for men. So how do you go back into your heart? How do you claim that warrior energy, that fierce masculine that isn't afraid to have emotions, but also has a lot of direction and leadership in life? And we do that through many different masculine practices. So that's the second phase. And then the third phase is really how do you two show up in a relationship interdependent and not codependent? So you're full, you're your world-class version, you're your world-class version. Now, how do you create that kingdom together, right? And it's really about understanding each other and your vision together. And how do you create that vision? What do you do in conflict? What do you do for intimacy? What do you do for love? Like there's a whole flow on how do you two are on the same page, walking life with your own unique dance, but towards the same vision. And then the last phase is really about having that divine union where you take all that I just shared and that becomes your minimum in life. And you take it to the next level and live that queen and king relationship, that happily ever after, that fairy tale love. So that's really what the Divine Union Academy is all about. And you know, it doesn't, the time-wise, it really depends on how much people spend on it. But we have like a lot of couples that spend about 2-3 hours a week. And they start seeing results within the third week. They start seeing like concrete results, not like those small changes here and there, but like they start noticing like concrete results within like the third week. And then it starts to build from there.
Wow. Well, it's good. It's good to give some structure. And I imagine if there's a, I mean, when we used to run tantra classes, people used to go, I can't believe you do tantra classes for people that are single. I'm like, well, you know, of course. So I imagine you have that as well for people that are not in relationship and they go through that process. Right.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. I feel like we've gone through this whole just beautiful journey since we started talking. Is there, you know, let's talk a little bit about you well before we wrap up. So what has it been like to step into this whole, I mean, you know, what a whole different world, right? You said that you were coaching 12 years ago and you were teaching more mastery of life, right? And then all of a sudden people started to come to you. So what's your life? What's your life like now? Where are you, you know, where do you live? What is, you know, what has your world turned into? Because when we talk about people stepping into the mission, it's really interesting, right? Like, you know, my mission had turned out to be 30 years of an entrepreneurship and I didn't know I was going to have a media company, you know, 10 years ago. I'm just like, you didn't. So kind of give us a little bit of insight into what your world is like now.
Yeah, it's interesting because you never really know where life takes you. But when you when you say yes to the calling, you end up realizing, you know, that you have such a beautiful space in the world. So for me, I still have the Earth Masters. So we have a global Ascension Academy that teaches people all different paths of mastery. So mastering your abundance, mastering your healing powers, mastering, you know, your psychic ability. So I was in that woohoo world, and, you know, it's a global academy, and, you know, we've helped thousands, hundreds of thousands of people through that. And within the New Earth Masters, we have the Divine Union Academy, where we specialize specifically on relationships and, you know, really help people master their love life. Like for me, the way I live today is that nobody should settle. Like for me, it's because I, you know, sometimes we think that we, it's not possible for us. Like, how are we going to have this amazing love life? And I used to be that person, like, you know, when you're talking about your friend that's like, I have my kids, I don't need a relationship. That's who I used to be too. But nobody should settle with something so important. And when we are in a beautiful relationship, like, gosh, like the level of intimacy we discover within ourselves, you know, it's just next level. So Divine Union Academy does that. It really helps people with relationships. And both our work is online. So we, you know, we teach people all around the world. We host coaching classes on Zoom. We do host live retreats. We have 3-4 live retreats a year. We have one in Dubai in February. We just had one in August here in Bali. And that's where I live. I live in Bali. The thing is, what I love about having our work online is we travel a lot. So we used to live in Dubai, and then we moved to Hawaii, and then now we're in Bali. And, you know, we're just flowing, and, you know, it's beautiful here. It's sunny and the ocean's amazing. And yeah.
Wow. Well, I always, at the end, as we wrap things up and before you share with people where to come, you know, find out more about you, I do want to share that this beautiful woman is going to be writing in the 262 book. You guys know that we are in this amazing, amazing, powerful experience of just, we say it's for women and those that love women. So I think that just goes so well with what you just shared. I mean, it's about solidarity for women. You can't just have women as part of that party. It's like women and those that love women, they come. We've had thousands of women come to the summits. And as you know, we have 22 of them, and we've just gotten started in that. And this woman is going to be speaking. She is going to be speaking on one of the most prominent summits of this party, as well as you're going to be able to read so much more about her and talk about herself in the book, the 262, and then of course share with the world what she does and invite to come play. So we have the 262 project, but I'm just going to kind of take us in a whole different direction. And everyone knows that's ever listened to this podcast more than once or been in my world for more than 15 minutes, that I absolutely love music. And I think music is one of the most powerful healers, if not the most powerful healer in the world, because it has no judgment. You can love a certain type of music and say, I don't like jazz, but you love jazz, but we love music. There's never any animosity around music, right? If you love music, you love music. So I think it's a very powerful healing vibration. I'm sure you agree. So I always love to say to people, and ironically, you are living. I always say to people, if you were packing and you had one suitcase and you were on your way to a desert island and you only had room for one album, what album would you take with you that you could not imagine not listening to for the rest of your days? So I'm going to ask you that question. What would that be for you?
Oh, I love music. I love all genres as well. And but if I had to choose one, it would be Bob Marley. It would be reggae. It would be Bob Marley.
All right. So yeah, I always love to ask that question. So please tell people where they can find you. And I know that you have a special gift. I know that our listeners are going to be like, hey, you hung in there, you guys. Some of you probably, you know, put stop and went and did some stuff and came back and maybe listened to it a couple of days later or whatever. But for those of you that hung out with us to the end, you always know that there's great treats at the end with us. So I believe in pre-show, you said that you had something for somebody. So please share.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm giving away one of my signature masterclasses. It's called The 5 Hidden Secrets to Instantly Amplify Your Intimacy and Your Sexual Connection in Relationships. So, you know, this is my gift to the listeners here. And, you know, I'm sure you're going to give them how they can get it. Maybe there's going to be a link somewhere next to this video.
Yeah, absolutely. They'll have all your information.
Yeah. And you know, and watch the whole masterclass. Like for me, this masterclass is the one that's filled with gems. It's like one of my favorite ones. And if you want to find me, you know, you can simply head to divineunion-academy.com. So it's divineunion-academy.com.
Awesome. Okay, so we are going to, until we meet again, my friend, any last minute anything, whether it's got to do with your business or life, is there any last message that you would like to share with our listeners today?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to share the gift of loving yourself. So if you're going to take anything from, our whole talk today, just give yourself a bit more love. Like you deserve to love yourself. You deserve to give yourself a bit more today. You're an amazing person that has an amazing personality, and you don't need any more things in your life to make you great. But what you do need is just to acknowledge yourself and to tell yourself, you know what? I deserve the best. And only you can give yourself the best in life. So give it to yourself.
All right. I'm going to drink that one. I'm going to drink that one in. Thank you so much for being with us. And you guys, you know how much you mean to me. We are so grateful for you as listeners. And I am sure, just like we promised in the beginning, that you feel a little bit more royal. You feel a little more like I deserve something. You feel like I'm going to take some action and maybe I'm going to come out of my shell a little bit, or I'm going to warm up to that idea, or I'm going to stand up to that idea. So we know we're going to see you on the stand up, speak up, and show up events. But you know what? If you want to be sitting where Nada's sitting and you've got something really beautiful and incredible that you want to share about your mission, you want to talk about whatever that has been like for you, then you know what to do. It's really easy. It's dev@devdrummond.com. I made it super easy for you. Or you can just go to devdrummond.com and send me a little message in the contact, and we'd love to have you on the show. So thank you for being you. Thank you, Nada, so much for sharing and being transparent and thorough. And thank you for doing this trilogy of teaching for us. We're super grateful. Thank you for everything that you do. And until we see you again, you guys, you be well and stay groovy. Bye for now.